All right, I have fucked this up already. Welcome to episode 29 of the new Green Legion Radio Show. Episode 2 of the new Green Legion Radio Show. Yeah, lot of moving parts. And right now there's two excellent moving parts. If you are on our Facebook page, we are live right now. Go to The Green Legion on Facebook and you can see the beautiful Ina. Ina is a dancer at Delilah's, and she will be there after the show tonight. So anybody that's that checks us out here or checks her out here, by all means, please go down and support her. We are all friends with her. She is an absolute sweetheart. Everybody, subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play by searching for Green Legion Radio. It still may come up as the Sports Blizzard if you do not see that. If you don't see Green Legion Radio, click the Sports Blizzard. Subscribe to us. It'll put every podcast that we have. I just looked over at Pops' face, and it was absolutely priceless. I completely lost train of thought. Not looking at this beautiful young lady right here, but Pops' face. How terrible is that? Well,
I actually thought I saw. Uh-oh,
hold on.
You
got to
put you on.
I actually thought I saw my name tattooed. Oh, no. It's pretty long. My bad.
Great. Starting off with the cough. There we go.
Okay, everybody, the Joel. Green.
What's that?
Okay, Joel.
Yeah, right. Wow, that just a segue into what's going to happen today.
Yep.
Everybody, real fast. If you didn't check out my personal Facebook post, now we have official studio photos of everybody.
Yep.
And Diaz's was the absolute worst, and that was what I was trying to shoot for.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't have to try hard. He got that Jerry Mathers look going on right now. It's not really.
I just gotta be comfortable with just being right, I guess. That's
just,
it.
Yeah, I guess.
Being right,
and we're gonna have fun destroying that argument.
Yeah, pretty much.
But everybody, my panel today, and as always, to my left, controlling our Facebook live page and live feed. If you have any questions, reach out to him. Again, he is in charge of determining who the winner of two tailgate passes to any home Green Legion tailgate this year. That's it. Yep.
I'm running things.
he gets more and more comfortable with every show.
Yeah,
we love it. We love it.
He's good at this shit.
But we got Pops to my left. Pops, appreciate you being here, sir.
All right, appreciate it.
And to my right, you all know, shut up, Diaz. That was a great response on Facebook, by the way, with my post earlier. He goes, oh, damn, sneak attack.
I was like, sneak attack. Hey, oh, I've been away from my phone for an hour and a half. You can't go without fucking blowing up my shit. I like that there's like 30 comments. I'm like, what is this?
Attack.
That's the only way you can get me, I guess.
That's it. Whatever. Hey, whatever it takes to win, right? And across from me. Number 78 in your program, number one in your hearts, 15-year NFL veteran with the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah?
No,
St. Louis Rams. Whoa, there it is. Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, and, of course, 10-year Eagle great Hollis Thomas. Big dog.
Oh, chilling. How you feeling?
What up, Tank?
Little struggling a little bit after last night. Well, not going to lie.
Yeah, it was pretty good, though.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was a great time.
Poker night.
Yes.
Poker night at Casa de Quimby. It's kind of like.
Did you say poker?
Yes,
night?
I did.
Oh,
I did.
Okay.
It's kind of like Fight Club. Nobody talks about poker night.
Yeah, beating it up.
I can only imagine. I'm.
It's a smaller derivative of a draft party.
Yeah. Okay. But, all right. But the draft is a highlight. We should announce that at some point in this month, so people don't. Like Petrie show up.
What, a draft party?
Well, unless Petrie's coming to the draft party this year, he's in the league.
He's out. Yeah. And that's true with Hollis as well, too, right?
Oh, yeah, motherfucker. Well, he didn't do anything in the league anyway.
I left Rex to fend for himself.
That's true.
Who was one of Rex's only victories against? Me and
Diaz.
So
I'll take the $1,800 I walked away.
Nothing wrong with that.
It was good, right?
Yeah.
It was good. I like that. I like that setup this year. Anyway, all right, we're gonna get to our sponsors here real fast, and then we're gonna get into it. Expect absolutely nothing about the Flyers, and probably to no fault of anything other than. Pertinent and relative information, probably not too much on the Eagles tonight. Mm. We're going to talk a lot of Sixers. We're going to close the door on the Sixers tonight. because right. unless, of course, there's some relevant topic that pops up somewhere along
until
the way.
July, until yeah. until free agency.
Until free agency.
You talking about with who? The Sixers?
He's lost.
I know. No, cause
I was checking the comments.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what we call them now? Comments?
Yes. Yes.
Everybody. Green Legion Radio is brought to you by our great friends at Miller Lite. If you are drinking beer here in the Philadelphia area, you are drinking Miller Lite. If you're not drinking beer and you're drinking vodka, make sure you patronize our excellent friends right here in Fishtown. Premium vodka distilled right here, stateside vodka.
And Bryce Harper just got a hit.
Bryce Harper just got
a
hit.
It's about time.
All right.
It's 4-1.
There
though,
we go. It. Well, 4-2.
Sorry, sponsors, but this, I mean, he's been on a
it's
big
okay.
slump.
It's okay.
He's been in a slump.
Again, go check out Stateside Vodka's bar as well. Excellent staff. Some of the friendliest people you'll ever meet. You'll definitely enjoy their facility, and you're definitely going to enjoy their vodka if you haven't tried it yet. Also, our good friends at Bucks County Baseball Company, BucksCountyBaseballCo.com, our good friend J.P. Lutz. Again, the website is bigger than the store, and that is difficult to achieve. Our good friend Mike McVeigh at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep. If you are looking for a new vehicle, especially a Jeep just like the Green Legion has.
Right on.
Right on. Right on. Go over and check out Mike and enjoy talking football while you not even realize you're spending all kinds of money on
you,
a new
you
car.
You might run into a bird, a former eagle. You
yeah,
know, you never
yeah,
know.
There's a good
there.
Chance.
It's a good chance.
Good
it's
chance.
Coming up.
Our good friend Ken Hutchings and Pat Pavlicek, the owners of all the Cavanaugh's restaurants here in the city. River Deck now open again. Pops is still losing his mind. Cavanaugh's Head House right off of South Street on 2nd. Cavanaugh's Rittenhouse on Sansom Street between 18th and 19th. Check out our good friend Paul working the basement bar. And, of course, Diaz and I. Our old stomping grounds, 39th and Sansom, University City, Cavanaugh's. Our friend Brian Pavlicek up there. Go check those guys out. Of course, our beautiful girls and friends at Delilah's. Again, we've got Ina right here. Mm-hmm. If you're not enjoying what the fuck Pops can't lose or can't concentrate as a result of, you're just not. Put a mirror under you. Put a mirror under you. Check him out. Take his pulse. Switching over to Manayunk, our good friends at Bourbon Blue, the Bayou, and Cactus. Three establishments that have supported what I've done for the last 2 decades. Please, by all means, if you are in Manayunk, patronize one of them. If you are not in Manayunk, go to fucking Manayunk and patronize one of them. And, of course, the Manayunk Sport Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in Philadelphia. Our good friend Ken Davies and all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations. Honestly, they are the most, what's the word I want to use? Up-to-date, progressive fitness centers there is in the area. More facilities, more classes, more everything that you could possibly imagine. If you haven't checked out their new Market East location, it is fucking ridiculous. But we also have Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, and Logan Square. Check all of them out. And, of course, our new friend, Jahari Evans, mm-hmm. and Somo Sophie. That would be Somo in South Philly.
Good work there. Yeah. You almost fumbled that
one. I tried. I was trying like hell. Hollis.
Yes, sir.
What happened today in history, baby?
Well, today is May the 15th. It's the 135th day of the year. There's 230 days left. This year is blowing by us, really. And we're going to start back in 1862 when the U.S. Department of Agriculture was formed. It was created and formed.
You know what happened in 1860 today?
What happened in 1860?
Federal government or Congress declared the slave trade as piracy. Yes, sir. Were you getting to that?
I didn't put that in. I normally don't do the negative stuff.
I mean, I
got you.
That's actually a good thing.
Yeah,
that's all that's sweat.
That's one of the first times I've heard that, because the only time I relate to piracy is making DVDs.
I'm Rick James, man.
We go to 1905 when all you gamblers.
Sorry.
No worries. All you gamblers, in 1905, Las Vegas was founded in Nevada.
Ooh. I wish I had more hands so I could give those titties 4 thumbs down.
Just so you know, Ina, that was not for you.
It sure the hell wasn't. We go to 1905, Las Vegas was founded in Nevada.
Nice.
And then
nice.
We go to 1928 when my friend Mickey Mouse, he was first seen.
Mickey Mouse?
Mickey Mouse.
Steamboat Willie?
And no, he was in Playing Crazy.
Ah.
It was just Playing Crazy. It was one of the silent films.
Wow.
Yeah. And then in 1935, as we're watching this debacle on TV, the Phillies lost to the Pirates 20-5.
Ooh. No way.
Yeah, damn. 1935 it is. Wow. But we're actually in a slump right now. We're getting our asses kicked.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. We'll get there.
And to for all you eaters, today in 1940, McDonald's opened its first restaurant in San Bernardino, California.
Wow.
Delicious.
And yes. Michael Keaton was born.
Yeah, before the one guy took everything from them, Ray Kroc.
Ray Kroc. Yep.
And then I had one final one, my favorite pitcher, Nolan Ryan.
He threw his very first
no-hitter. You got that one?
Yep, 1973.
Yes, against Kansas City.
Nice.
I hate them. Yeah, did you get some national holidays?
No, I don't give a shit about that.
You care about Chocolate Chip Day and National Straw Hat Day?
National Straw Hat Day.
Straw Hat Day.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Give us this information beforehand so I can order the hats.
So then I have some quick birthdays for you. We have Dan Patrick. Kerry Viner, 1956. Dan Patrick, it was 1956. And 1957, Kevin Von Erich.
Wow. I don't know who the fuck that is.
You know the Von Erich brothers?
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're not wrestling?
No, he's not wrestling.
Wrestling, yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Well, if Rob was here, he would have just creamed.
Yeah. 1961, rapper Melly Mel. Oh, you don't even know who Melly Mel is?
Yeah, dude, we're fucking white.
I know, dude.
You know, you don't really.
Hey, wow. Wait, this does look a little segregated. We're going to have to switch seats up.
From Grandmaster 5 and the Furious 5?
Oh, okay.
Melly Mel. The lead rapper. Wow. And then last but certainly not least.
That was Jerry Mathers that said we were white. We got the bees.
And last but certainly not least, one of my former teammates, Troy Drake. He really didn't do that much, but he's a former teammate of Philadelphia. Today's his birthday, 1972.
Did he go on for the Rams or something like that?
No, Troy Drake. No, you're thinking of Troy Drayton.
Okay.
Troy Drake was a defensive tackle, and they moved him to offensive tackle when he got to the Eagles.
Okay. I got just a couple to add. If you guys are fans of Cooper's Treasure,
yes,
TV show that's been on, is it Discovery or Nat Geo?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
The last of the Project Mercury spaceflight carrying Gordon Cooper was launched today in 1963. Mm. Gordon Cooper's Treasure is about Gordon Cooper in orbit around the world,
right,
numerous times, and seeing from space what looked like shipwrecks along the Caribbean coast, and currently they are trying to find all these ships based on years of research. He was a treasure hunter,
right,
after he was finished being an astronaut. And one person has taken up the reins for all the information that he's ever had and put together. I don't know how much of it's true or how much of it's bullshit, but it seems pretty legit.
How do you see that shit from space, though?
Well, you have to go with the currents. The weird thing is when they do get down there, it's kind of jacked up because the current moves so fast and so harshly that it'd be to move things around.
Yeah, it's tough. But apparently, he made so many different orbits spying on Russians that he was able to see this. Anyway, and of course, just to make sure the racial bonds are tight today, Ebony and Ivory began their 7-week run atop the Billboard charts in 1982 today.
Yes.
Now, that's a great song, but I think
it's
appreciate...
a fucking terrible song.
No. I appreciate, though, the Eddie Murphy.
Joe Piscopo.
Yes. Joe Piscopo. Yes.
That was fantastic.
That's what we remember more than that song.
Yep.
And it started to stem awful other songs like Mick Jagger and David Bowie.
Oh, God.
Dancing in the Streets.
Dancing in the Streets.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Oh, God. And if you didn't know if they were bisexual, you did after that song.
Yeah, that and the one their wife spoke out about it.
Yeah. Here's an interesting Philadelphia fact. Gotcha. Today, in 1800, that jerk-off John Adams ordered the federal government to pack up and leave Independence Hall. Move to D.C.
Yep,
so Quimby, if the federal government resided 8 blocks away from here, you would have jumped off of your balcony.
Nah, dude. Best place to hide from them is right underneath their nose.
Right underneath their nose, yeah. The closer you are, the less they know about you.
And a couple fun Phillies facts before we get to the Sixers. May 12th, 2006, 22-year-old Cole. This is this week in the Phillies.
Yeah, this week,
today.
Yes.
May 12, 2006, 22-year-old Cole Hamels makes his pitching debut. Will be a Hall of Famer, no doubt, at some point in his career. May 12, 2009, Jason Wirth, after singling, scores after stealing second, third, and home.
Sweet.
And funny part about that is exactly 29 years earlier, my man Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, who should be in the Hall of Fame.
No matter what.
Even touching little girls, right?
Yeah, don't care.
All right.
Why did you even bring that up?
Damn, you are one pathetic loser.
We need to zoom
29 years ago,
I would have zoomed in
on May 11th, Charlie Hustle steals second, third, and home as well. So an interesting back-to-back there. And on May 10th, one of the very interesting and rare days for a 16-year career of Larry Boa, he hit one of his 15 career home runs on May 10th.
Cool.
Actually, some point in time this week, too, there was a triple play against the Cardinals.
Yes. It was done by one person.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was that against again?
Against Cardinals? The Cardinals.
Where's Cardinals from?
St. Louis Cardinals.
What team?
St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay, all right.
Oh, since we're on the subject of that.
Here you go.
Do you know? Well, actually, I was watching television last night, and I had to catch a glimpse of it's a bar in South Philadelphia. Does the song "Oh Gloria" mean anything to you guys?
Because I Gloria think by
it was so, it's something about a theme song with a bar, and it's actually a St. Louis blues bar here in South Philly. No joke.
Oh my God! I finally saw it. You two both have the same deer in the fucking headlight expression.
No joke. I just want to make sure you are aware of that, Diaz. I mean, we might want to go and check it out.
The St. Louis blues? What, because they're going to root against the Flyers? I might go down there and have drinks with them.
In South Philly.
Whatever.
They said they hope once they win the Stanley Cup this year, or if they win the Stanley Cup, that they will come and grace the presence of the bar.
Wow.
With the cup.
Well, on that note, let's get to our Philadelphia Flyers, shall we?
Thank you.
What have the Philadelphia Flyers management done to make their fans happy this week? Nothing. And on to the Sixers. We have a lot to go over here, everybody. And I know everybody in the room is disappointed. I know Diaz is even more disappointed than all of us. However, we all share the same Philly pride. I will tell you, Tony and I went to Toronto on Sunday morning. Well, actually, Sunday afternoon. Okay. We left at 2:40.
Right.
And first of all, Jurassic Park sucks.
That's what I was going to ask you. You got to tell. You said it was small.
No,
that little park they show.
My apartment is bigger than Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it looks smaller than Xfinity Live.
Yeah, no.
That's sad.
It's nothing, dude. It's literally 100 by 100 feet. Maybe. Which is 30 yards.
Right.
It's nothing.
Not like Kansas City Live and how big
that is. No, it's nothing. It's wedged. It's just a courtyard that's wedged between office buildings and an entertainment bar. The one bar there is really fucking cool. I forget the name of it. We went into that. But it's just the outside part.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't even think they sell alcohol in there.
They just have an outdoor TV.
Just have like a DJ, there. You know, pumping people up. But it sucks. Toronto, sorry. It sucks.
It was always pumping it up, too.
But In all fairness, we're gonna break down Game 7. We're gonna talk about Brett Brown. We're gonna talk about the players in their seasons. We're gonna talk about what we think is gonna happen next year, and what you'd like to see happen with this team. Now we're gonna get off base here and off track, and I know that. I'm gonna actually kind of set the stage for you guys to start talking, and then I'm gonna go grab the bottle of Jameson because by the time I get a fucking word in, I'll be about four shots down.
Okay.
I have one thing to say, and then I'm just going to open it up for debate. Please.
Gotcha.
You know, just...
Don't talk over each other.
Don't talk over each other, because we're gonna get heated here.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be 3-1.
No.
I can take it.
Yeah.
I think it's not.
I'm actually on Diaz side.
Okay.
Be careful. I don't know
are
what
we talking about
say.
Personally?
I don't know what he's going to say.
No.
Preferences?
No, I like this over here. You know what side I'm on.
Again, everybody, Ina, the beautiful Ina dancing for us right now. If you're not looking at her on our Facebook page, she is an absolute fucking beauty. amazing curves.
Yes,
awesome. I'm sorry. This is
a tantalizing moment.
It's tasty.
Tantalizing and tender.
It is tender.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going to say this, and again, my knowledge of basketball is limited. I've been the first one to admit that every single time we bring it up. But it seems readily apparent and obvious to even the novice basketball fan that we were exposed in Game 7. Now, were we exposed before that? What I couldn't understand, and we've talked about this before, it seems as though you've got Embiid playing the fucking perimeter.
Yeah.
Because your point guard can't take a shot outside of 5 feet from the net. Just, you know, he's out there trying to clear space. And anytime we went down low, there was help. You know, somebody was coming over. But I don't know. I'm still going to take Joel when he's not 72 Big Macs down against a double team. And I don't care what statistics say.
Right.
Marcus Gasol doesn't fucking scare me. He's white. Fuck. I'm sorry. He doesn't scare me. And the season's over, and it sucks, but I honestly feel if we weren't exposed in this series, we would have been exposed in the next series against Milwaukee. And if we weren't exposed there, the West was just going to fucking beat us up in a seven-game series. It wouldn't have gone that far.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. I guess I would like to start up.
Yeah.
I don't really look at it that way. It's just baffling to me. A lot of people was talking about this trust process. I'm a Philadelphia 76ers fan, mm-hmm. so far as basketball is concerned.
Check.
And my thing is, okay, they didn't get as far as we liked or hoped. I mean, but realistically, Brett Brown has only been required to actually coach the team for the last 2 years, and he's already won 100 games. Some of the people he was talking about being replaced by might not have won that much.
Well, we're not. Let's get before we get to Brett Brown, because he's going to want to talk to Brett Brown. Yeah. Brett Brown too.
Okay.
Let's just talk. Stay with Game 7.
Right.
Okay.
With Game 7.
Okay.
Because
so.
some of the things that he that Quimby's talking about. First off, like, no one's afraid of Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol is just a good defensive player.
He's
good.
Decent.
He was a defensive player of the year. He's smart. He knows how to use positioning.
Right.
He knows how to use it. He lock his legs down as tree trunks.
But tell me this, were they not giving him help?
Yeah, Now, this is not to say Marc Gasol's great or anything.
Well, no, but this is what everybody, because I think he put it out there, but this is what he's basically trying to say. Why do you have your best big
Hollis, you got to not interrupt Diaz. He had a thought.
That's all right.
And it was a thought on what he's talking about, or what you guys were talking about. And I'm just saying, everybody was saying why you got your big man starting out by the three-point line.
I get that, too. Like, when I say these things, it's not that I disagree. Like, I agree. Like,
right.
He shouldn't be out by the three-point line. But I think, getting exposed in Game 7, they lost at the buzzer. There was no exposure. Toronto's a good team. Philly's a good team. It's a playoff matchup. They got to Game 7 on the road for a team that was heavily favored. But
you can say that, but that game shouldn't have even been fucking close. Joel went, 4 for 16, 17?
Yeah, he was like 5 for 18. But that – hold up for a second. What I'm saying is this is they weren't – I'm not happy, and this isn't a consolation. And once you entered there and they won game two, you're like, hey, man, this is going to be a fight. We got a chance. You know, we're matching up well with these guys and all that stuff. That's right. Before the series started, they were heavy underdogs. But then once the series began, they shrunk up. The thing, though, about this post-up thing – listen – this isn't like Brett Brown isn't like, hey, JoJo. It's not football where they call a play, and that's exactly what happens on every single call. I was looking at the stats, and I know stats don't matter, but stats matter. And, you know, people like JoJo get in the post, the announcers, you were at the game, but the announcers, I would put him at the post. Well, listen, he averaged about 9 plays from the post this season, between 8 and 9. So we'll just say 9. He had, you know, based off of NBAstats.com, 3. This game.
3 touches.
Three touches in the post.
Out of 102, right?
Out of 103. Now, but he averages, like, so everybody thinks that it's, JoJo should be down there 18 times a game. JoJo was second in the league. I forget who was first. We look it up. But first in the league was like 8.8 a game, and JoJo was second at like 8.6.
You mean touches in the paint?
Touches in the post. So I understand the frustration when you see JoJo out at the three. But guess what? He's going to be out there sometime. That game should have been down low a little bit more. Yeah, but how much more?
He wasn't down low at all.
That's right, three plays. He averages about 9 a game.
So you need six more
six more.
We get 4 more points, and we win.
Well, you see, you're saying that, but I think what happens in Game 7, what's different is, and I'm not saying this is the cause and everything is okay and Brett Brown was great and don't make fun of Joel Embiid. But what I think by Game 7 is this back and forth between the two teams, you know, they eliminate what you want to do. That's what good teams do, and you have to, and that's where some criticism can be about, making some changes and adjustments. Yeah. But Joel Embiid, Toronto got Marc Gasol because he's the only guy that has consistently shut down Joel Embiid. That's not an excuse. That's reality. They got him just to stop Joel Embiid.
Woo! Okay.
And he effectively did. Now JoJo was sick, and the weight and the tendonitis and all that stuff. That's not an excuse. I think what happened is we lost the game at the buzzer in Game 7 on the road. We weren't exposed.
Not so much exposed. My thing was this. I don't feel like we was exposed. I feel like that every time this goes down like this, we're not able to make adjustments. We were down for 4 minutes and 26 seconds. We did not score a basket. We had a couple of turnovers. We took the shot clock down the line. At some point, we have got to hold him accountable for being a coach and making
in-game adjustments.
Wait,
but we're not on Brett Brown yet.
Oh, no. I said no. I'm not going totally that way. I'm just saying what went down.
Here. Well, ultimately, everything that we talk about negatively here regarding this game, some of it, is player responsibility.
Correct. That's right.
And other parts of it are going to be coaching.
Okay. Right.
This is the one that fucking fried me, mm-hmm. and this is even more so than the coming out of two timeouts with 2 minutes left and you can't get a fucking shot off. Besides that, in a Brett Brown post-game conference, Redick. All right, look, I like him too. He's cute. All right. But we all know if he misses his first two shots, he's not going to fucking sink another bucket until the next quarter. It's just a fact. And he's also a defensive liability.
Yeah.
100%. So with 20 seconds left, he's on the court.
Why?
With fucking, the game that tight.
Yeah.
And Toronto having the possession, possession.
Right.
And Brown gets interviewed and he goes, well, we had him on there because of the transition. Call a fucking timeout. Right. What are you fucking kidding me?
I think they were out.
Hold on a second. Let's see if we can save those timeouts. Not like cell phone minutes that roll over to next month, you fucking jackass.
They were out of timeouts.
No, they weren't.
Not yet. They weren't out of them yet.
They were not out of timeouts.
I don't remember, I can't.
They used their last timeout after that.
Yeah.
They used their last timeout after that. Because he's a defensive liability.
I saw him out there with 20 seconds left, and I'm like, what in the ever-loving fuck is he doing there? First of all, he's the only fucking guy out there besides Kyle Lowry representing the Lollipop Guild. Right? Yeah, God forbid he gets somebody gets a pick set, and he's got to cover Kawhi. Kawhi's just going to go, thanks.
Oh, God.
Right.
All right, but it's shit like that just drives you up a wall. And anyway. Breaking down the game.
Wait. Damn, Diaz. Slow down, man.
Slow down, Tito.
Okay. I didn't see you, man.
Well, for me, I felt like if we were speaking on just for right now, the player standpoint, I had an issue with Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, up until that point in time in that series, had been playing pretty good.
He was our best player, yeah.
And when it came down to anytime he got the ball, they doubled him on the wing. When Ben Simmons went in the paint, they doubled him in the paint. And the highest paid players on the team, let's be real, are Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick. And out of the three people that we don't know whether or not they're going to bring them back with good reason are Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and J.J. Redick. Like, do you really want to hit your wagon to someone talking about making almost $200 million over the next five years. We're gonna get to that.
Yeah. Let's stick to the game. Yeah. But you know what?
I mean, the game. Okay, so in the sense of the game, everybody started out terrible. Yeah. Everybody on both sides.
Awful. Both sides. Everybody was cold.
Yeah. I mean,
that fucking place was freezing.
Cold and tight.
Yeah.
Turnover.
Two words I do not like to live by.
Cold and tight. I like to live by.
And everybody stopped and looked over at Ina. Perfect.
Warm and tight, though.
Look at that body.
It is.
Everybody, look, I want to do this. I want to take a quick two-song break because we've been at it for 35 minutes already, and we want to take a break between this. Might do a little wardrobe change for our good friend Ina. Let's come back. We're going to talk more Sixers about midway through our final segment. We're going to get to the Phillies, but let's take a quick break here, and we'll be back with the Green Legion Radio Show in just a couple minutes. All right, Pops up. Forgot the golden rule that we were on Mike Silence, and he didn't do his shot yet. Everybody, welcome back to Green Legion Radio, 839 here in Philadelphia. So we decided, what do we need, baby? Take that. Okay, good. You just came in with a towel on?
She's doing something. I don't know.
All right. Ina's on a quick 5-minute break. She needs it. She's been working out on the pole, and certainly something I love to say every single time I meet a woman. But, breaking down the game, and if you're listening or if you're watching us live on Facebook, you heard our conversation. I agree with everything that everybody has said. I agree with what Diaz has said. I agree with what Hollis has said. I certainly agree with what Pop said. I certainly agree with everything I always say, but I think what we're really doing right now is we're literally just looking for a reason that we lost the series and we lost because they were a better team. Simple. Now, what are we going to do to make the team better? What needs to take place? We're going to find that out, as it goes, and hopefully it's a better ride each time around. But
okay,
we're going to move right to where everybody is gravitating, which is Brett Brown and what we actually think should take place, shouldn't take place. I'm sorry, still my personal opinion when it comes to Brett Brown.
Glenn, honey, I have a question for you. What do you do for a living?
Hey, I have a question for you, too. Why are you still here?
Why are you still here?
And I guess ESPN reported today that Brett was going nowhere.
Last night, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yep.
And you know what? In all fairness, kudos to the Sixers organization for making that statement, even though I don't want him to be here.
Okay.
But they made the announcement, and now it's fucking put the rest, and they don't have to listen to anything
right.
for the next 4 or 5 months before the season starts right, again. Right. And you know, I respect that. I respect a lot of what new ownership has done.
Did you hear his tirade?
Who, Brett?
Yeah.
No.
I wanted to fire him after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm fired every year.
Yeah, that's what he said. This is Philadelphia. I'm fired every year.
It was beautiful. I kind of get what he's saying.
No.
Just like some people may be on board with, all right, get rid of him. Okay, you've had this man basically eat shit for 4 years in a row. Basically losing on purpose. You traded a guy at halftime. You traded a guy that he was playing at halftime of a game. You expected him.
Say that again. I don't understand.
They traded Brandon Davies at halftime.
He was coaching Brandon Davies.
I got you.
And when Hank was there, Brandon Davies was having a great first half. So and they went into halftime to make some halftime adjustments. And he was talking to Brandon Davies, and they walked over to him. He's traded. He's not going back in. Yeah. He's been traded.
And that's my thing. That's one of my things. You've expected this man to be subpar or terrible for the first 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, everybody knew this whole process thing. I wasn't on board with it at all.
No,
I feel like you're a professional athlete. You're getting paid to entertain. At least entertain. And anybody that they thought that would have or help them along the way on this whole rebuild or whatever you want to call it, you got rid of him. And that was my thing. And now he's expected to win, and he's done well in these last two where he's expected to win. The man has won over 100 games in two seasons combined. Okay, granted, they didn't get as far as expected. he has coached three different teams this same year.
That's right. And now I like to comment on that too, because it's you can't ever like compare things from different sports one to one, because football is different than basketball, that's different than baseball.
Right.
But kind of like trends and overall kind of big picture thing. You know, what I was saying, you know, they played 10 games together. They played 10 games together. And some people that I talk to, argue with, say that's not an excuse. You can't use that as an excuse. And I get it's not an excuse. It's just reality. And when I looked this up. When you add up the 10 games they played together, and a lot of it was due to Embiid misusage earlier in the season and sitting and all that, but the 10 games that they did play together and the minutes they played, and then the 12 playoff games that they played, that's 22 games.
Right.
If they were together at the start of the season, let's just say they started.
Right.
22 games in is November 25th, when the same day the Eagles beat the Giants at home. I mean, that's just not – and if you say – like,
and you would have still gotten out-coached in the series.
Well, hold up for a second. What I'm saying, though, it's just they played about a quarter season worth of games. It's like the Eagles aren't ready for the playoffs at the end of September. The Sixers are not ready for the playoffs at November 25th. Now, that was their choice, and they've got to go out and perform and execute. But the reality is, it's just not a lot of time.
Well,
so for me, Brett Brown is this, and listen, all the complaints or the criticisms about Brett Brown, some of them I think are overblown, but most of them are fair. They might be a little exaggerated, but they're fair. I'm not backing Brett Brown, but I think that a season of continuity would be just kind of great. We got the Colangelo thing in the year before that. We have the Hanky thing, and we have the injuries and the injuries. I just think, hey, listen, let's bring the team back, right? Let's bring them back. Mm-hmm. Let's get an off season. Let's get a full season. Everyone find their roles.
Let's find Joel a healthier restaurant choice other than McDonald's.
Absolutely. I agree with all that. And just it's kind of like with Brett Brown, who are you going to hire?
Well,
and people hate when you say that, but like you saw what the Lakers were going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just have some continuity for 1 year. To the next.
You want
to
know what I want? I want a team with less turnovers.
I want I know a lot of what you want.
Less fucking turnovers.
Less
turnovers.
You're right, and I agree.
I want somebody in there who's going to hold people accountable. Apparently he's not the guy to hold people accountable.
He's a friend.
He wants to be somebody's pal or friend. I need a coach in there to hold guys accountable for turning the ball over, for when you get to the rim, not dunking or laying the ball up instead of turning around looking for a damn pass. I need somebody that's going to make in-game adjustments. If you want to know what this is the second coming of Andy fucking Reid. We're going to get to the same fucking place. Or you can look at it like this. This is the second coming of Alex Smith. He's going to get you to a certain point in the playoffs, but he's not going to get you where you want to be. And it's just like that. He's like, I don't know the best analogy I can use you for is you know how Greg Williams and Greg Williams is a great defense coordinator.
Yeah, yeah. But he's been a terrible head coach.
Terrible head coach. Like Brett Brown, I feel like he's a great coach, but I don't think he's a good head coach.
And sorry, had a little bit of a break there. A little wardrobe malfunction that needed to be taken care of. Ina is back live on Facebook, on our Facebook Live feed.
Tantalizing.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
those criticisms are fair, and I think if it goes like this summer, I'm like, okay, now let's see what we can do. Let's get everyone there. Let's get them all back.
Real quick.
But hold on. But the one thing that I didn't get to was all the stuff you're talking about going through, all the changes. Every fucking body goes through changes.
That's not true.
Everybody goes through changes.
That's not true.
Name one team that didn't.
Hold on a second. Are you allowed to answer that, or is he going to say, name one team that didn't?
I waited.
Name one team that didn't.
I'm asking him because, look, he's.
All right, he just got muted.
No,
go ahead.
No, I mean, the first thing. When we're talking about changes, it's not like, okay, they brought in Marc Gasol after Valanciunas went down. Like, okay, they brought him in. That's true. They got him. And then in Milwaukee. But it wasn't like they had three starting teams this year. There's a first, a second, and a third of this season. It's completely different teams. Markelle Fultz.
Wrap it up, Bo.
Yeah, I'm trying. You guys can't see it on the Facebook Live feed. I'm giving all kinds of signals. We got to wrap this up. We got to move on to the Phillies.
It's just one of those things, brother. This is a what have you done for me lately league. He's done pretty good.
What have you done for me what?
Lately.
Oh, late Lily?
Lately.
I thought I heard a late Lily.
I say this is.
I was going to go all the Levis on him.
Rob Levis, as he's a grammar.
You listening to Rob Vela show. Fucking dude on the bike.
That's great.
Hey, all right, real quick, because I want to ask each of you what you think right now the starting five will look like next year.
Okay.
Having the knowledge that we have right now, because we're going to close this up on BB. We all have our opinions.
Okay.
We've all given them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pops, obviously, Simmons, Embiid.
Simmons, Embiid. I think they're going to retain Jimmy Butler and let Tobias Harris and J.J. Redick walk.
Okay.
The other two people that replace them, they may address in free agency or somebody that they already have.
You know what? A better way for me to ask this question. Of the people that are here on the team right now, who do you think will still be here? So, yeah, Pops answered it correctly. I'm sorry I didn't ask it properly.
Okay. Obviously, Embiid and Simmons, but I think they're going to go with Tobias Harris because Jimmy Butler he's too quote unquote divisive for the coach. He's telling people what to do, which I like because you need a veteran in there.
Well, but because we didn't have a coach.
Exactly. We're still not going to have a coach. But when you do what he's doing as far as the coach wise, they can't have that. They can't give a guy $200 million to do that.
I agree for different reasons. I just think Harris is younger.
Exactly.
I think they gave up way too much for Harris to let him walk.
Exactly.
And they gave up enough to get Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Those players are good and they're valuable, but you gave up two first round picks, that Miami pick and Shamit.
Mm-hmm.
I Harris wasn't impressive during this past series. He had some good games and good moments, but he's just not going to light. He's not going to light your world up. The thing with Butler is, listen, he's been here since November.
This is you not getting off of it. I asked simply what
all he asked you was the starting lineup. Damn it.
I don't know.
Just say Mike Scott.
Butler. We'll say Mike Scott, and I think they actually bring Redick back. I think he's in the twilight of his career.
Okay, that's great. Pulling back.
He's
pulling
close
back.
To
it's
home.
8:50 already. That means we got 10 minutes to spend on the Phillies before we get to making money, because I know Hollis has three picks for us.
Yes, I do, sir.
And what? Just to tease, what did you go last week? 2-1 or 3-0?
I went to 3-0.
3-0?
Yes, I did.
He did go 3-0.
Yes,
all right.
It was awesome.
So if you're not listening to Hollis's handicap, you aren't paying attention. I will tell you right now, I think, obviously, Embiid, Simmons, and Harris.
I thought you were going to say Butler.
No, I want them to sign Butler, but I don't think they will.
Right.
Right.
I also, on my wish list, one of those people would not be here.
Harris.
No.
Oh, no, Ben Simmons, yeah.
I think it's time to close the book on Ben Simmons.
Unless,
first of all, you have a point guard that can't shoot. Sorry. Okay? Fine. But I'll give him one more year if his shooting coach isn't his fucking brother.
Well, I guess he's gone then.
Yeah, because he's doing that actually on his own spare time.
Yeah.
Everything else.
Don't care.
No, don't care. Hey, you'll be happy with this. From what I heard today, and I'm not sure the names and everything, they are replacing their internal shooting coaches. So it's not Liam. Liam Simmons is still his personal coach.
He's still going to work with him.
But inside the team, they're replacing it over.
Is it Marshall Post guy?
Keep going.
What's his name again? Drew. Drew Hanlon. Yeah. Drew something.
The Markel Folks guy. Markel, you gonna buy us those three of those jerseys?
Well,
I got $1,000 bet.
I can tell you exactly why Butler won't be here.
Yeah.
Because I bought his jersey.
Yeah.
That's right.
Same thing happened with Kiko Alonso, and our good friend Lewis has to wear that once a year in Miami.
Hey, we're going to Miami, by the way, Green Legion, December 1st. Extend your Thanksgiving vacation. Sweat out to dinner in the sun, yeah.
All right, everybody, let's get to the Phillies right now. And at this point in time, I believe we're going to get a phone call in about 10, 9, 8,
the sack 7, master.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2... One. Chris, call the fuck in.
This segment should be called Ask the Sack. What's up, Sack Master?
Mr. Sack, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to see Diaz in the studio tonight. I drove across the Walt Whitman Bridge on my way to work on Monday morning, and I thought I saw him standing off the side of it.
That was mainly because Daenerys burned down King's Landing, which was more devastating to me than a Sixers loss.
Oh, hold on a second. Favorite clip.
You crying, boy? You crying, boy? Maybe we'll go back down to McDonald's, get you a Whamburger and some French fries. How about a Wineken? You little sissy boy! Jeff Leppard sucks!
Oh, my God. Chris, yeah, no, he's off the suicide watch list for now. He's doing okay. But we're going to move on from the Sixers because currently we have a team in first place, and we're still disappointed in them.
Yes, we are.
How about that? How about that right there? Ready? That encompasses every bit of Philadelphia sports. We have a team in first place. We haven't had a team in, well, we did have a team in first place last year with the Phillies, but we all knew there was no longevity whatsoever. But we have a team in first place, and everybody is ready to jump fucking ship. And in all fairness, Chris, this is where we hand over the show to you, and we want your opinion on everything. We're running a little bit behind schedule here, so we got about 5, maybe 7 minutes to talk about the Phillies, and you're our man. Go.
Not a problem. I'm kind of right there with you guys as far as the terms of frustration. I think a lot of that is led by the kind of month and a half panic that we're having over here over our two biggest stars. Aaron Nola has been frustrating, and I keep on hearing the excuses of he doesn't like pitching in cold weather and he needs warm weather for a feel of his curveball.
Well, but October baseball is going to be a motherfucker.
And I'm sorry to enlighten everybody, but if we do happen to make the playoffs and we are lucky enough to play postseason baseball, it's not that warm in October either. And plus, so I still tend to not, I'm not that worried about Nola. I'm not that worried about Harper either. Because I know one of the topics that you sent to me earlier was about the Harper slump.
Yep.
And I understand that. And my whole thing with Harper that alarms me is the amount of strikeouts.
Yep. Hold on, though. And what? Yeah. We all knew those were coming.
Right. Yeah. Damn. Like, you're surprised? But like, not that's this what he
much.
Does.
No. But not this
yeah,
much.
Yeah. No, I'm no. with you. I'm with you on See, that.
But he's in a slump. No. I mean, you know, it'll go. I kind of expect it to flatten out.
Listen, when that's the thing that we have to have an understanding about. When Harper gets hot and he's setting the world on fire, everyone's going to forget about this slump that he's been in. But the thing is, like, to me, and my whole basis when it comes to watching baseball is put the ball in play, and good things are going to happen. I mean, did anybody see the other night when Aaron Nola put the ball in play?
Right.
He drove in 2 runs.
Correct.
Really, he should have been out at first base.
Wow, nice.
All you have to do is put the ball in the field of play. And like I think I said this a couple weeks ago, Hoskins said this when he first came to the league, and I was like, well, why are you hitting so many home runs? Are you trying? No, I'm just trying to put good swings on the ball, and they just so happen to be going over the fence.
So Harper
needs to rediscover his swing.
Okay. So quick question as it relates to Harper. I'm really not on board with giving him a pass myself personally. I mean, that's just me. But for him to fizzle out as quick as he has in this slump,
I don't think he ever got that
he wasn't bad. I mean, he's still getting on base.
He was good for the first week.
Right.
And that was jacked up adrenaline.
I mean, I wasn't okay with the actual signing in the first place. I do remember getting grilled by you guys, but that's something to talk about in another time. But what I'm saying, maybe do you feel like he might need a break? Because he has played every game.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, it's kind of like he hit the ground running. As soon as he signed, he was right in the what was left of spring training, and then he came right in. Don't you think at this point in time he might need a break?
Some guys need the break. Some guys tend to want to swing their way out of it. I pulled up some stats earlier today in regards to Harper slumps of this nature, and this is his fifth worst one that he's had during a 15-game stretch. He did have a double tonight.
Yeah, we did watch him hit a double.
So that makes him 2 of 100.
You know, and he's still garnering walks. And I think I said last week about, or was it 2 weeks ago, one or the other, about the, with the Harper thing with Jim Thome. But I pulled him. There was another nugget that I found the other day, too. Ryan Howard in 2008 was batting 181 through the first 40 games of the season. Mm. And he ended that season batting 251 with 48 home runs and 146 RBI. I'm not saying he's going to reach that amount of home runs. He's not going to reach that amount of RBI. But we kind of got to give the guy a little bit of leeway here. I mean, are we really saying he's fizzling out at 26 years old?
I mean,
Chris,
with
we are paying
years left in his contract.
We are paying him $330 million over the course of this team. We don't have time. We cannot wait. He's got to perform now. Why haven't we won a World Series yet, Chris? Why haven't we won a World Series?
Well, he's batting 219.
I mean, it's already May.
Honestly, as stupid as
this,
stupid
guys. I have to do one of those once a week. My
whole
just to get it out.
My whole thing with it is he was compared to sliced bread. I mean, I didn't see it. I looked at
well,
his
stats. Hold on a second. And one thing that we are not acknowledging, and, right. and we all know because we are all sports fans, Hoskins might not be having the season he is having
if it wasn't
without Harper in front of him.
Yeah. It's
but, that's absolutely true.
But, Chris, it's one person that you're fucking leaving out. You're leaving fucking Jake Arrieta out. He's making an awful lot of fucking money to be going up there talking shit and not pitching perfect games.
Well, he came in on a 3-year deal, and he's gone.
Yeah.
The good thing about that house is you only have to deal with it for another year and 4 months.
Yeah,
that was a 3-year contract. Right. Yes, you paid him a lot of money, but with the way the market looked, and I know one of the topics that Quimby sent over to me too was our pitching, and our pitching back in those glory years, outside of the last few where they traded for Lee and then they got Doc and then they got Roy Oswalt and then they had all four of them along with Hamels. Pitching in the early years, 06, 07, 08, they weren't that great. The thing is, the Phillies are primed to make a move closer to the deadline. The good thing is this year there's no waiver trades that are allowed in August. Teams have to make up their minds by July 31st. And the Phillies have to go out there with the mindset that they're going to need to get a stud for the top of the rotation. Another nugget, too. Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrel is still out there. If you want to get a closer, Kimbrel's there. If you want to start a Keuchel's there. But and the
how
thing
are these
is,
guys still out there?
The team, you no longer have to forfeit the draft picks if you sign them. Now it's just outright for money. A lot of teams don't want to give up the draft picks, so I think teams are waiting it out until June before they start to get serious about Keuchel and Kimbrel.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Okay. Hey, Chris, real quick, and we wish we had a little bit more time with you, but we were going way off the beaten path. Or not way off the beaten path. We were just talking way too much.
No, it's your guys' path, and I love it. No.
But give us a status on Scott Kingery. He's in a rehab assignment in AA or AAA right now.
He played seven innings last night in St. Louis, Lakewood. He's great now. I think he's on the bench with them tonight, and then he's going to be playing in Reading on Friday night. And then I think a lot of it depends on what he does on Friday night playing for Reading. Before they activate him off the DL, if they're or the IL, the injured list,
right?
If they're going to bring him back this weekend, or they're going to let him get a couple more at bats in either AA or let him play in AAA. So, yeah, we'll see. We should have him back by next week. I know you were talking on the topics list about getting rid of Odubel and Cesar. Cesar's leading his team in hits. He's second in the team batting average. Odubel is the one that might
don't
still
no.
up the draft to
don't
the report.
Care. I'm sorry, I hate that.
Can't get right. I'm now on the bandwagon too.
Chris, once again, your knowledge of the Philadelphia Phillies far surpasses pretty much anybody I know, and that
JP Lutz is hazing me on the Facebook post out there.
fuck him. Pops, have we had any good questions on our feed tonight?
No, not at all. We only had like maybe one or two questions. The main question was
is whether or not Ina's single.
No, about I guess it was the Eagles' question about the remaining cap space.
Ah, all right. We'll get to that next week.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Once again, we appreciate you, brother, and thanks for sitting it out and putting the kids to bed before you came on board with us tonight.
Anytime, gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time. Look forward to next Wednesday. I'll talk to you guys then.
All right. Thanks, brother. Yeah, man. You guys, we are going to take one more quick one-song break and allow Ina to shake that ass before we come back for our final money-making segment. Once again, Hollis's handicap went 3-0 last week.
Yes.
My fantasy golf team did not win any money. However, I did win on one of my other three teams, so I'm going to take a different format this week. We'll talk to you guys in just a few minutes. All right. Welcome back to Green Legion Radio, episode 29. Episode 2 of the new Green Legion Radio show. Once again, real fast, our sponsors and everything that makes it possible. Miller Lite, Stateside Vodka, Bucks County Baseball Company, David Dodge, Chrysler Jeep, Cabs, restaurants all over the city, Delilah's Bourbon Blue, the Bayou and Cactus, Manioc Sport and Social Club, all City Fitness Philadelphia locations, and Somo Sophie. It is time for the money-making segment of the Green Legion Radio Show.
Boom shakalaka.
And I would
money, money, money.
I would like to point out, again, if you didn't hear it earlier, Hollis made three picks last week, and Hollis went 3-0, and that is against the spread. I think it were all over-unders, but we still call it against the spread in the degenerate gambling business. By the way, I would like to point out one thing. I had never thought that I'd be a degenerate gambler enough to take action at an Acme yesterday.
Wait. You never thought you'd be a degenerate gambler since you're a degenerate person, degenerate guy, degenerate businessman, degenerate podcast host, degenerate radio host, degenerate sun tanner.
He said take action at Acme, though.
No, no, but he said degenerate gambler.
So the quick story there is... I needed Q-tips.
Mm-hmm.
I looked on the little cheat sheet that's at the end of every aisle in an Acme, in case you didn't know that. You don't always have to find somebody to ask. Mm-hmm. There's a little laminated piece of paper, 8.5 by 11.
Mm-hmm.
Q-tips, mm-hmm. Cotton swabs. Aisle 14, nope, nowhere. I got two employees going at it against each other. I'll bet you. I go, I'll cover those bets. And then I come to find out, after coming through a few more aisles, they started going at each other pretty hard.
God.
Like, I don't like you. Neither do I. Anyway, Hollis, it's time for the Hollis Handicap. What do you got for us this week, sir?
We're going to start with the basketball. We're going to go with the Golden Toronto-Milwaukee game.
Okay.
I'm going to take the under. I don't think Toronto is going to be up for scoring that many. Because points is 218.5.
Okay.
But I'm also going to take Milwaukee they've had more of the rest. Then you go to the next Golden State Portland game. Now you would think that Portland would come out and try to win, but I don't think they're going to have enough firepower to deal with Golden State. So I'll take the over though. Take the over.
You're talking about a Durantless.
Have you paid attention to what
first two games?
Have you been shooting
the? Yeah, the one that won two titles or whatever.
Yeah, but have you seen the firepower?
Actually, they won one.
I won. You're right.
You seen the firepower though?
Yeah.
I don't know how anybody could ever say the Sixers had the best fucking roster when you have Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Stephon Curry.
You might want to talk to your buddy Rob Valise.
You could put me on that squad, and they would still have a better five-man roster.
And then they have a tremendous bench also. So I'm gonna take the over now. I think it's like 218. So I'm gonna take the over now because Portland's going to score, but I don't think they're going to have enough firepower to win. And the other one was the San Jose Sharks playing the St. Louis Blues. I'm going to take the Blues.
You want to go down to the bar in South Philly?
Yeah, we can take the Blues.
Yeah, right.
Take the Blues and go with the under because it's 5.5. It's 5.5, but take the under because the Blues are playing great defense right now. So
got it.
Yeah,
All right. Well,
that's because they just won game one the other night. Was it game two? Because the score was like 2-1, right?
4-2.
4-2. Okay.
Yeah, the first game they lost, it might have been 2-1.
Yeah, I knew it was 2-1, one of them.
All right. Well, next segment is fantasy golf. And I'm going to give you guys a different route this week. Instead of picking a team for you, mm-hmm. I have three teams in already. If you want to follow me at all on fantasy golf, I'm Quimby70. Mm-hmm. I have a storied history. I have 8 total tournament victories over the last 3 years.
Who helped you with that last one?
Oh, 100%. There's a couple players. What I'm going to do this time, instead of formulating the team,
mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to give you the players that you should be working with. then you can figure out the numbers and how you want to do it. Okay. It's a list of about 12, 15 players. It's a great list. It's trust me, it's a research list. Everybody sees my fucking spreadsheets every week. All right. I have tournament history. This is Beth Page Black. This is a motherfucker where if you look at the field for this tournament, I mean, Tiger Woods, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, Francesco Molinari, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood, Xander Schauffele, Jason Day, Bryson DeChambeau, Tony Finau, Matt Kuchar, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Mae, it's everybody. This is a Masters field for people that don't get into the Masters.
Okay.
All right. It's fucking ridiculous. So the players that you want to look at this week, undeniably, if you can figure out how to get Dustin Johnson in your lineup at 11,100. In Bethpage Black 2016, he was tied for 18th. In 2012, he was tied for 3rd. In 2009, he tied for 40th. The last two matches that he's actually, last two tournaments he's played, tied for 28th and tied for 2nd. This is an easy no-brainer. He'll be in the leaderboard. He'll make the cut. There's no question about it. The next is an interesting one because it's not that high. Justin Rose. Justin Rose did not make the cut at Bethpage Black in 2012, but he was tied for 46th in 2016. He also came in 3rd 2 weeks ago at... I think it was the Wells Fargo. I might be mistaken there. But Justin Rose. I'm sorry. He didn't make the cut in 2009. He made the cut in 2012, was tied for 46th, and in 2016 was tied for 31st. John Rahm. Anytime you can take John Rahm, take John Rahm.
John Rahm sounds like a song from the 60s.
He sounds like a porn star. He is literally the most consistent player on the tour right now, and he's only $9,500 right now, which means you're only $1,200 over the average per player. Ricky Fowler was tied for 7th at Bethpage Black in 2016 and tied for 24th in 2012. 1 week ago, he was also tied for 4th in the I'm not going to remember the tournaments, but also tied for 17th in the Masters. And tied for 9th in the tournament immediately following. He's a stud. He's only 9,300. Tommy Fleetwood has not played in this tournament since 2009, but he was tied for 8th and hasn't missed a cut yet this year.
Cool.
Xander Schauffele was tied for 2nd in the Masters. Yes? Yes.
Yeah.
And 63rd the tournament after that. He's somebody to look at. Jason Day is having a silent great year and was tied for 4th in this tournament last year. He hasn't missed a cut all season. Matt Kuchar, whenever you can, take the cooch. The only stain on his record is he missed the cut in 2009 at this tournament. Won't make a difference. Jordan Spieth is only $8,600 this week.
It's a steal.
That is $267 over the average. That is a steal. And he was also tied for 10th place at Bethpage Black in 2016. Bubba Watson loves this tournament. Tied for 18th in 2009, tied for 10th in 2012, tied for 13th in 2016. When I say this tournament loves Bethpage Black, he has also not missed a cut all season. Bubba Watson is $8,000 right now, $333 below the average. Louis Oosthuizen, you crazy South African fucker. $7,800, tied for 18th in 2016, tied for 5th in 2012. Gary Woodland, coming off an illness a month ago, his health is not an issue. Gary Woodland's health is not an issue. Take Gary Woodland. He is $7,700. He gives you $700 to play with on a player at the $9,000 caliber. Ian Poulter, as much of a prick as Ian Poulter is.
Ian Poulter sounds like a prick. Yeah.
He sounds like Poulter. A jerk.
Hello, my name is Ian Poulter.
He has been on every leaderboard, top 20 finishes so far this year, has not missed a cut. He's only 76.
Only 76, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sixers.
The unsung hero, Ryan Moore. Ryan Moore is a fucking stud here, and nobody knows that name. Ryan Moore has not missed a cut since February. In 2009, he was tied for 10th at Bethpage Black. 2012, tied for 24th. And 2016, tied for 7th. He is $7,400. Every lineup should have Ryan Moore in it. Every lineup should have Ryan Moore in it. Let me say that again. Every lineup you have should have Ryan Moore in it. Lucas Glover, Ryan Palmer, Jonathan Vegas.
Jonathan?
Emiliano Grillo, Pat Perez. Every lineup should have Pat Perez. Let me say that again. Every lineup should have Pat Perez.
Wait. Is that another fellow Mick Spick out there?
That is.
I got to meet this Pat Perez. His name ends with Z. He's got an Irish first name.
And if you're going to get
kindred spirits,
if you're going to get into the lower tier so you can take the Tiger Woods, you can take the Dustin Johnsons, look at Eddie Peppers. Kyle Stanley. I would take Kyle Stanley on every team right now if you want a high-end player. Mm. Kyle Stanley is $6,800. Brian Harman, 100%. And that big son of a bitch with the long drive in the belly, J.B. Holmes, coming in last at $6,600. Every one of those players that I just named are viable. Viable, what the fuck is going on? Is the camera off?
He's such
no,
a...
No, video.
It's the video.
The camera looks off. Is the camera off?
Yeah. I think the live. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he
Interesting.
Did.
Interesting. Anyway.
It's a glitch in the Matrix.
Anyway, everybody, we need to say goodbye to Ina right now because she has to get to work. Anybody yes, that is listening wants to, she will be working at Delilah's tonight. She is stunning. You cannot miss her in any way, shape, or form. Ina, thank you, baby, so much. We're going to say goodbye to you here.
Thank you.
Yep.
See you later, Ina.
Bye, Ina.
Bye.
Oh, yes.
Everybody, let's get it off your chest, and let's get this fucking show wrapped up, because we're 33 minutes over where we need to be.
All right.
Diaz, do you have anything you want to get off your chest?
No, I think we covered it with the Brett Brown and stuff. I don't have anything I want to get off my chest. Actually, I do. I want to apologize to all the amazing Green Legion fans out there, our friends from across. I said something stupid about the tailgates, but guess what? The tailgate tickets coming soon. Yep. Coming soon, next month.
Actually, we're going to start getting out some of our ticket and tailgate packages at the end of next week.
Oh, people cool. are already fired up, man.
Yeah, we know. Yeah. And no worries, man. I came down on you pretty hard on that. I apologize.
Well, but you were right. I mean, you were right. You're right.
All good, man.
It's rare.
Don't let it take away from the fact that I am phenomenally grateful for everything you've done for
me. Yeah, we're great, man. We're good business. We're business relationship.
We're rocking. Hollis.
I don't really have anything, but fire Brett Brown to get off my chest. I was talking to Barry Goldberg, who I met. I'm talking to him. He's gonna choose a trip. He's gonna let you know when.
All right.
He's gonna choose a Green Legion trip.
All right.
And I'm gonna go with him on it.
Nice.
So he'll be on one at least.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent. Pops. Besides trying to figure out how to work Facebook.
Well, no. this one's pretty much done. I don't really have too much. I think I got it all out. Yeah. Only thing. The winner for this week is Jorge Flores.
All right.
Yeah. I think I gave it to him because he's gave the most pulse. He was pretty
excellent.
Active.
Jorge Flores, we appreciate you, sir.
Yeah, he was the most active out of everyone.
Thank you very, very, very much.
Definitely not Mike English.
No. Someone did shoot give you a shot from the Bucks County Baseball Company.
J.P. Lutz.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. He was blowing me up.
Yeah,
he definitely not you, Lutz.
Yeah,
time. He was close.
I'm sorry, sir, but you have to pay. Yeah. Anyway, I have... only thing I want to get off my chest is Scotty Cameron in Florida. You're a shitty photographer and even a shittier business person. If anybody does anything with you, they're a fucked up individual. No model should shoot with you. Nobody should partner with you. I haven't heard that name in a while. He fucked me up on two separate events.
Nope.
And, yeah, you can go to hell.
Fuck you, dude.
Well, my husband, get this off my chest. It's brought to you by Hollis Thomas and, and the rest of the Green League.
Anyway, we are going to say goodnight for another week. Everybody, we appreciate you supporting, listening, and we will see you again next Wednesday.
Peace. R.I.P. TTP.